right, quickly, let's continue what we were discussing last time about the matter of persistence in hope. Let's just take a few minutes and complete what we were saying about that. Let's read the portions of the Bible we read again, the ones we read that time. Let's read them again. First one is from the book of, let's just refer to it briefly, the book of Daniel, chapter 10. Let's just read a few of it again. Now, we won't read much of it, just to remind ourselves of the story. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. And the message was true, and one of great conflict. And he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. All right, verse 2. He says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth. Nor did I use any ointment at all. He said this happened until 3 weeks were completed. And then on the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, and described the man. And then in verse 7, he says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Verse 8, so I was left alone and saw this great vision. I'm jumping just to get to the main point. In 10, he said that, then behold, the hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I am about to tell you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word, I stood up. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. Now, let me just stop there. That's the main thing we are picking from there. Again, let's open to the other one that we read all the time. Verse 1, Luke chapter 18. He said, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times men ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, and he not told the parable. I'm not going to read it now because it's something we know. My point is actually made from verse 1. Now, this is what we're talking about last time. After we finished praying, we now thought about this. I'll just review it and then go into something I want to link with this one again. We said that, I was trying to answer a question again, that Daniel prayed, and the first day he prayed, he was answered. He was heard, all right? And God dispatched the answer to him. That is the first day you prayed about we're talking about the principles of intercession. We're not just talking about the principles of prayer generally. We're talking about the principles of intercession. So that means the first day you prayed, let's say, for a country like this, you prayed, let's say, for the judicial system, all right, or you pray for the church of God in this nation, and you pray for truth to fill her. The first day you prayed, the principle behind it is that you were heard. Are you getting my point? You were heard. Now, but it took Daniel 21 days to see the answer. It took Daniel 21 days to see the angel that God sent to go and give him some things. And we said, therefore, it shows that there might be a delay. Oftentimes, there is a delay. And that's why Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get tired. I say this all the time. Don't ever forget. If Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get tired, it is because there will be a reason why they will get tired. You understand? There will always be a temptation to lose heart. The literal word there is, do not lose heart. That is, do not despair. Do not lose hope. That's another way to put it. Now, that tells us something again, that the prayer is important for the result to come. Things just don't happen because they want to happen. You know, there's something I saw somewhere on the web today. So I sent around some of the mailing groups that I was in. somebody said this is the principle of atheism. You understand? And that is, a long time ago, there existed nothing. And for no reason, nothing exploded and formed a lot of small, small things. And for no reason at all, a lot of small, small things just began to create reproducible matter, and then they evolved into a dinosaur. Now, that's the principle of being an atheist. That is, everything started from nothing, yet something came out of nothing. And now, let me just say this. I'm not talking about atheism now. In Christianity, it's also like that. Things just don't happen out of nothing. You know, when you watch news, people make it appear as if, you know, at a point in time, a nation just changed and it became good. So let's observe until the nation changes. Those who look beyond that now try to explain it was human beings that did things. Let me emphasize this one to us again. Change is determined spiritually. Are you getting my point? Change will only come because it is spiritually determined. Now, please, that's very important. Why I'm saying this is this. I'm talking about the principle of intercession. Anything you want to see changing, it will not just happen for nothing. Some energy must be put inside. Force must be applied. Now, persistent force. And that's the principle of intercession I'm trying to get us to understand. You see, Jesus said that men, there's a tendency to lose heart. That they've prayed for a few years, they have not seen the result of what they are praying for. So they start getting discouraged. Please follow that point. And then I said that they must not get discouraged. So I was saying, so you have been praying for a particular thing, let's say in a nation like this, and the Bible says on the first day you prayed, you were heard. The first day Christians joined their hands and determined that this is what we want the country to be like, God heard. And he sent an angel, not just one. He sent many angels. He sent the answer. At least a blessing was released. But for 21 days, all right, which can be figurative, it can be that for 21 years, and that's a matter of fact, this thing that God sent had not really reached the earth. What are the reasons why they won't reach the earth? It's not in line with what I want to talk about, all right, right now. But there are many reasons. There are many reasons. It can be because the people that are going to receive them need to be in a particular state of heart, all right? It may be that they must be in a particular state in their relationship with one another because before the blessing can come. It might be. There are many, many reasons. It may be that somebody needs to, you know, there has to be more repentance in their heart. But the point is that the answer was released, but it has not yet manifested. What we are talking about, again, in this our series, is the role that the person who is praying, all right, has to play in their answer eventually manifesting. What I began to say last time is that there must be this persistence, all right, in hope. Hope was what I was trying to bring out. I said that my wife asked me once, what if Daniel had left there? And the answer I gave then, I'm just reviewing it briefly, is that would imply that he had lost heart. He had lost hope. Please, are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is not as if the angel couldn't get through. The main thing, I said this last time, let me say it again. One of the major things that's drawing that angel down to the earth, one of the major things that's drawing that angel down through all the difficulty, one of the major things that will force that angel to crack all the barriers between him and releasing the answer into this earth is the fact that Daniel is there, all right, or was there, and was continually praying. And that's why Jesus emphasized, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Please, I hope you are following my point. I said something to us last time, let me say it again. Even if in a particular generation, those who pray did not see the result, what the next generation will just do is carry on from where, all right, they stopped, but eventually the answer will come. Now listen to it again, if for any reason people change their minds, they lose heart, they start modifying their expectations, they can only be answered according to the expectation that they have. What's my teaching today again? To say to the people of God, don't ever lose heart. Don't ever. It's an assignment. There's something just before I came out, I wrote that down. All right? And let me just say that to us again. In life, this is how God created everybody. All right? There's a particular assignment. I listened to Miles Morrow long ago when he was talking about purpose. He said the big picture of what God is doing, not one person really, that the one person doesn't understand everything. But what we are all supposed to do is understand the role that we are supposed to play in that big picture. You may not know exactly what the whole thing is about. Let me give an example. Maybe you're an engineer now, and they're going to build a spacecraft. Or nobody even told you it's a spacecraft. But you're supposed to design, all right, and build a particular kind of valve that controls the flow of fuel. Your job, all right, whether the spacecraft is going to Mars or going to Neptune or going to Uranus, that one doesn't concern you. Your duty is to make sure that you build the best valve possible for control of fuel ejection or whatever it is. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain there. That is, and that's how God rewards people. God does not reward you for getting results. Let me say that to us again. God does not reward anybody for getting results. It does not. It does not. God only rewards you for doing what you were supposed to do. Because one person in the scriptures that did not get any result you are aware of is Jeremiah. He prophesied and prophesied and prophesied. They were tossing him into dungeons and all of that. Nobody believed him. Even those who came to him and said, now we have agreed that you're a real prophet. What should we do next? He told them what to do, and they refused to do it, accusing him of having received a bribe. I'm telling you the truth. They accused him that he had received a bribe, all right, so as to deceive them. He didn't get what you and I would call results, but he was effective in his ministry. And God said to him simply, and that's his ministry, whatever I tell you to go, you go there. Whatever I tell you to say, say it. Whether it will get results or not is none of your business. Now, back to the matter of prayer. And that's how it is. We all have an assignment, all right, to pray forth the righteousness of God onto the earth. And God rewards each person for what he does in that regard, even if he or she does not see the exact result that he was expecting. But that persistence in prayer, the fellow must never, never, never give up on it. You mustn't. If you do, you lose your reward. Not only will you not see the answer, you also lose your reward. All right? So I was saying it, that, listen, the hope that Daniel had was the reason why he remained. If he was not there, it would be that he had lost heart, and the force that was pulling that angel through all the barriers, all through all the obstacles, would have been missing. So at the point in time, he would have had to turn back. And listen to this. It would never have been that he would get back to heaven, and the Lord will say, what happened? He said, man, the forces were too tough. I couldn't get through. No, it would be that what happened? Daniel is no longer interested. I don't know what I heard me. If you heard me, say amen. That is, it is not as if he will get there and they'll say, why did you turn back? He said, my Lord, if you saw those kind of princes in that Persia of a place, the Fiki person. In fact, you know, he said that I was left there with the kings. So there were some people around. He said, man, those guys, man, they beat me, I wound. Now I turn back. No, that wouldn't have been the issue. Simple answer would have been, why did you return? Daniel is no longer interested. Please, I hope you're following my point. They were asking, why did you return? And what will he say? I can't hear you. Simple. Please, don't ever forget that. If we took that angel 1 year and he had to turn back, the only answer he will give when he'll get back is, Daniel is no longer interested. He prayed, he's changed his mind. And listen, that's what Jesus was telling us. Men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. People will say that you have prayed, they are still kidnapping. You have prayed, they are still rigging elections. You have prayed, there's still power failure. Are you getting my point? And they itemize all the problems. Listen, if those... Please, let me quickly say this to you again. I always say like this, life is what? A battle. You know I say it like that. It's a battle. That is, as you are praying that things should be good, there are some people that say, lie, lie. Why should it be good? If everything is orderly now, we will not be able to sell this, as an example. We will not be able to sell generators. That is, if everything is orderly, people will now be checking where I'm making money from. There are those that, deep inside their hearts, they don't want things to be good. That's not a joke. Don't think I'm just trying to preach nice. What I've told is a matter of fact. There are those that hate order. They thrive in the midst of disorder. Once, I think I told this story before, a friend of mine, one of my colleagues, he said, he was there. You know when GSM came to Nigeria, you understand? And phones were going to become cheap. I know the story then was that, go to Ghana, everybody. You know, that's how we tell the story. Even the mechanics have it, taxi driver. But, you know, it sounded like, what is it now? You know, even in Nigeria now, the children have it. Once a child can handle something, the parent buys it. Because it doesn't cost anything anymore. Yeah, it has reached that level now. But that when it was about to start that time, they said one man somewhere not too far away from here. He had invested money in buying 090. 090 was costing close to 100,000 naira of those days. So imagine like today now, you wanted to get a phone. You have to come up with about 300,000 naira, 400. That's how it was to get a phone line, mobile phone line. So the man said, so everybody will now be carrying a mobile phone. And he hissed. Like, what kind of nonsense is that? Why do they want to spoil the society by making everybody carry a mobile phone? Why are they going through the effort of making sure everybody can afford a mobile phone? I'm telling you the truth. And such a person is releasing spiritual forces into the atmosphere. Such a person, imagine, now let me just say this to you, to scare you a bit, and you pray some more. There are people like that occupying important offices. I'm not sure you heard me. There are people like that occupying, look, listen, some of the problems that still exist is because, you know, I've told you, better start, you know the prayer I said 2 weeks ago, we have to learn how to pray. We have to learn how to destroy people with prayer. That is like, if you are in an office and you, because of your position, you use that power to prevent progress. Just complete it with, I mean, I don't want to say anything. Let's just say that this man, why are you wicked like this? Use your own wickedness on that side. Oh. It's not your wickedness. Let me use your own vengeance. That's a most spiritual word, all right? Which word did I use? Vengeance. Yes, your vengeance. The vengeance of God. It's called the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. I'm telling you, there are people like that. What I'm saying this is that, so you know that when we're talking about praying, it's a battle. You are working to overcome. These are the reasons why Daniel, the angel, what's the name of that angel? Who knows? That's the reason why that fellow left heaven. 21 days later, he hadn't reached where he was going. That's the reason. And one of the forces you will apply, you know, I've talked about the power of words in previous times, but I'm talking about persistence of what? Of hope, which will always express itself in your words, the words that you speak. Don't ever, you know, I said it last time, I just want to emphasize it again. Today I'm going to talk briefly about how that comes from, all right? Where that comes from or how it comes, all right? We're going to talk about it briefly. But I'm going to try to emphasize the fact that when you see things that are not working the way you expect them to work, it is called the 21 days of Daniel. In fact, that's a new terminology. Yes. Please, you should be reminding me of this thing that I say, because I often forget. After sending them here, I go away. Since I didn't plan it ahead of time, it doesn't stick, all right? But now when people point to you and say, look at what is happening in PDP, what is happening in this part, just say, it's the 21 days of Daniel. What are we calling it? 21 days of Daniel. Anytime there's a delay in anything in life, call it the 21 days of Daniel. It's not a sign that God didn't hear. It's not a sign that God is dead. It's not a sign that God is unable. It's not a sign that it will not happen. Just say it is the 21 days of Daniel. At the end of the 21 days, good will come. I said at the end of the 21 days, good will come. Amen. You know, there are those who don't want power to be constant in a country like ours, but they are used to cheating NEPA. And once you when you privatize and say, yeah, everybody, this is how it's going to be, they panic because then they have to part with money. Those are the forces that are saying this angel will not arrive. Listen, what's the name of our current power minister? Professor Chinedu Nebo. Let me just give you an assignment today. It's part of our expectation lifestyle. Never, ever. In fact, let me just say something quickly. Don't ever criticize a man in office that you only read about in newspapers. Let me say that to you again. Don't ever criticize a man in office who you only read about in newspapers, because your criticisms are, the chances that they are wrong is at least, let's put it conservatively, 95%. It's more likely to be 100. But let's not sound so difficult. If you sit down in your house and criticize, what is his name, our president, the chance that you are wrong is at least 95%. I mean, all of you are there now. You've seen the way they're now praising. I like the days of Obasanjo. Did they say it that time? It was one criticism after another. Then the man left office.
I like the days of, if it was, you know, if it was, listen, when Jonathan goes, wait, the next person says, look, this man is too harsh. I like Jonathan. He used to take his time to make decisions. He was never in a hurry. Look at this one, he's just rash and brash. Let me give you a Christian assignment again. Don't ever, like this power matter now. There are those who are, I've seen people start, they start cutting this prof up to pieces and eating him. What is wrong with him? He came to office. He told us he would do this. He told, listen, that man is a good man. May God not put, anyway, God will put you in charge, amen? But I wanted to say that may he not put you in charge of a lot of bad people. But it's an unnecessary prayer. He will be in charge of a lot of bad people. Don't worry. It's part of your life, amen? It's part of your cross, and you must carry it. God will elevate you. There will be five people beneath you. You didn't, it's civil service. It's government office. You did not appoint them. They'll promote you to be in charge of them, and two of them will be witches. One will be an Ogboni man. Only one good man is there. No one of them Christian. What are you going to do? I can't function here. You will function there. You must function there. People don't realize some people get into office, they contend with a lot of forces. When our former president, not the one who died, the one before that, when he entered office and he said in 2 years, give himself about 2 years, that power will be uninterrupted, he meant it. He wanted to do it. He planned to do it. He spent money to do it. He hired people to do it. I know somebody who was working with one of the men hired to do it. They spent the energy, my God. But that's when I knew that software could be expensive. One of the men, they drawing the plan then. My brother, Deji, was working for the man. He said that the software they used for programming powers, you know, the power, the plans and all of that, the power grids, was 25,000 euro. I said, what? I said, you know the pirate? I said, like, you can't pirate it. You can't get a stolen copy. Because after you install it on the computer, there's one particular small hardware you have to plug to the computer for the software to run. Look, they spent the money. When they left office, a lot of transformers and things that were bought were found in places where they were just covered. He was one man. Your president doesn't mean you can do everything. If you do the things that are required to do those things, people will start, that is, protest on the road. But at the end of the day, even he too got tired. And other people were not going after him. Now they had to be fighting them back, and he got distracted from that job. So the job was never completed. And like one thing he said that time, he said, now I'm talking about civics again, that the amount of power we're trying to generate is just enough to meet the current need. And that once you approach that quantity of generation, the need will suddenly increase because people will now realize that, look at constant power. All the industries were using generators before, they start switching to power. So you just have to keep working and working. That is like the way it was, that you have to keep at that pace for like 20 years before you see anything steady. But you know what average people do? Look at them, these government people. I mean, they told us they're going to do this in 18 months. They have not done it. These people are stupid. They are crazy. They are nonsense. They start adding to the powers of the princes and the kings of Persia. That's why I'm telling you again. This is spiritual, but you know, I'm so happy. You know, because before I was thinking that school of prayer. Why do you talk so much? I said, it's not. Look, I need to talk plenty. Because the major problem, they came to Jesus and said, teach us how to pray. I say it all the time. When Christians gather all night service, my estimate is that 90% of those prayers are without meaning. What percent? I'm trying not to be wicked, though. I will have told you 99.5. I've been to the prayer meetings. And one of the major reasons why many of the prayers are not effective is not because of the words that are used, but because of the people praying. Grumblers can never pray effective prayers. What did I say? Critics don't pray effective prayers. Remember, critics. Those who just sit down and criticize from outside. That's what I was telling you. Anybody you read about in newspapers, don't ever talk about him. A public office holder, you know, the governor, you know, anybody that is only when you cross your leg. And because those newspapers, if you see who are the people writing them, you won't read again. I'm telling you, if you see those who are writing them, some of them are half drunk. Some of them are illiterate. I mean, okay, not illiterate, they can read and write, but it's, they are ignorant, they don't know what's going on. And they give them a column because, you know what qualifies to write a lot of those columns? You know somebody. See, all those opinion columns, I don't read them. I don't know. Maybe some of you do. I don't. You know why? I read the name. Who is this? I don't know him. Then why should I read him? If you give me an opinion column written by Pat who told me, I'll read it. Why? I know him. I know what he knows. At least I have an idea. I know his background. I've heard him talk. I've there's some story about him. One, somebody who I know has information is writing. I read. But you just see one man. His name is John Bruce Alade. Who is he? Who is he? What gives him the right to speak into my life? What gives him the right to shape my opinion? It's one of the reasons why, you know, CNN, their head is not totally correct, but, you know, one of the reasons why I watch some of their programs rather than Al Jazeera's programs is because when they bring people up to speak on issues, you say, you know, oh, this is this person. Like the other day, you saw someone like Yitzhak Rabin being interviewed, you understand? So, this has been the prime minister of that country, is he president? Which one was it? What was the name of the one that got at the top? Is he prime minister or president? Hey, okay. But, you know, these are people who fought. I mean, in the place where he came from, he was one of the few people who survived the Holocaust. It was a little boy. So when people like that are talking, you know, I quickly get there. They must have information. But when you just go and bring me one man, one Jean-Claude Murray Bruce, who is he? I don't know. Just because you now sit down and be speaking English. That's why I'm telling you, newspapers, a lot of that. If you see the speed with which I read papers, it doesn't take time. I read the news, you know, like news. Today, it was announced that tomorrow will be a public holiday. Yes, that's news. It's news. You get my point? Some of them is bad news. As the car was going, it jumped the road and jammed the truck, and the truck collapsed, and the car was not damaged. It's interesting news, but it's bad news, you understand? But it's facts. Are you getting my point? Even then, you would decode anything beyond it all with care. But when people write opinion, politics today, why PDP may not be able to overcome APC. First, I check, what's your name? You say Tanko Muhammad. Who is Tanko Muhammad? Nobody. I don't read. It's a waste of my time. I don't read because his opinion is just as good as mine. So I'm not going to read. It's like football commentary. You've seen it. When you sit down inside beer parlor, you know what I mean? You're going to watch football there too. The guy on the right, he has an opinion. No, why is Rooney starting? No, they should have used Marco Van Basten to start, you know? Then they turn, the next guy has an opinion and say, no. You see them arguing and fighting and talking. That, now imagine they gave each of those people columns to write in the paper. You'll be there every day imbibing the writings of drunk men. People who so that's why, you know, papers don't. There's one day, one sister told me that she likes This Day. You know, This Day. She like, is it back page or one? Some pages in This Day because the analysis is true. So I said, what makes it true? Then because of her, I went and read one or two. After that, I went and said, madam, you are telling me lies. They are fooling you every day. You don't realize it. I disagree with this analysis. Who is the person writing? Just because you know somebody. Now, let me not even stop there. I'm spending too much time. The point I'm trying to make is that, listen, as Christians, be careful. Anything you read in the newspapers, don't use to criticize anybody. You have only one duty, which is what? Praying. What is your duty?
Pray.
To pray. It's very important. Your duty is to pray. And more good things, you know, let me just say the truth. Good things are happening in this country. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
In fact, I don't know about America. In fact, I don't even know what's going on in Europe. But as far as this country is concerned, good things are happening.
Amen.
They may not be writing about it because it doesn't justify the nonsense they wrote before. If last year you said that government can never do this and they did it, nobody's going to talk about it because you've told them that they are lying. But whether they talk about it or not, based on my faith, based on my persistence in hope, I know that good things are happening. And we cannot be praying this much. You know, I was saying that one reason why we talk so much is because a lot of Christians, they come to pray, you know, they come, but with wrong hearts. You get my point? They are critics, so their prayers are ineffective. So we have to teach. But I'm bringing an issue here. For those who are learning the truth, who are always speaking words of hope about the country, I know we are enough. And we are releasing enough positive force into the environment that good must be happening. It's happening. Some people are dying because of us. And some have been elevated because of us. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, we will see good in the land of the living. And this is what I say all the time. No word that I have preached. You know, everybody has what they are living for. This is my own. Any word I preach, it will produce and you will see it. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If they want to destroy the land, it's too late. The day we start running away from Nigeria is when you, me, some of us pack and run. Better follow also. But as long as we are here, buy land. Don't be afraid. Go to Abuja, buy. Nasarawa there, buy. You know, when you see problems in some places, go and pray. God, if your spirit just go there, buy. It will be cheap in the midst of the calamity. Then peace will now return. That will be expensive. Look, becoming rich in life, there are different ways. That's one of the ways by which people become rich. When you hear that Isaac sold in the land, where did he get the land from? That was not his land before. Go and check. He had moved from somewhere to Gerar. Everybody was leaving Gerar and going to Egypt. So the land was cheap. We see all these southerners running away from Kano and Kaduna. Buy their land. Buy their houses. Things will soon stabilize. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And your investment will triple and quadruple in value. The value will go up 10 times. And that is a matter of fact. What am I saying? Good is happening in the land and we are pushing good out by force because we are persistent in our hope. Very important. Very important. I was saying, let me just quickly conclude that thing I was saying. Why we talk so much is because it is not just about uttering words. There's a heart attitude with which you utter words. It's not just about going for prayer meetings and we are talking, okay, let's pray for Nigeria right now. And people praying for Nigeria, they say, if I don't get this visa, I'm dead. Listen, if you have that attitude, don't go for prayer meetings. Go and watch football. That's when you want to pray for the country. Go and watch football. Buy a bottle of Star. Are you getting my point? Yeah, you know, take away your sorrows. You see, I don't have time to quote scriptures. It's in the Bible like that. You don't know? You see a man who's discouraged. The Bible says, give him wine. Now when he drinks, he'll forget all his troubles. The Lord is good. Let those who want to pray, let them go to church. Those who want to destroy, let them go and because at least in their drunken state, they won't be able to say too many things that are effective. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
But if you want to go and pray, that's the point I'm making. You go with hope in your heart. Please, I hope don't go and buy stars now because I said that. You should buy. If you don't want to pray, a man has to do something. Either you are praying for the country or you are drinking to wipe away your sorrow. Just choose one. But those of us who are praying for the country, we will overcome. Amen?
Amen.
I said we will. In fact, we have overcome.
Amen.
I said we have overcome.
Amen.
I said we have overcome.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the point I'm making. All right? So, you see, a lot of people, they just go, they are praying, but their heart is not in hope. Their heart is not expecting anything. And for such people, I'm telling you again, it's not effective. It's a waste of time. You may as well go home and sleep.
What is important is that we are persistent. If I believe it's a strong and very crucial message for the church of God today. I told you I went somewhere once, the head of the church, they had many branches in many states of Nigeria. If he heard the word he was uttering, what kind of country is this? This is not a country. And this guy, they didn't use the title, but it's one of the people you would have called a bishop if you had chosen the title. Because I've been in ministry for a very long time. At least I personally had known him at that time for close to 15, 16 years. No, not a small boy, not a small boy. When I got to Lagos those days, after my youth service, I used to watch him on TV. I finished youth service in 93. So at least that fellow had been preaching before that 93. And then once I went to somewhere, he was preaching, he came to Enugu here, and I heard him talk. I was amongst the ministers visiting, you know. They ushered me to a correct seat, so I sat in front, and I was hearing this. If I was sitting at the back, I would not escape.